This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we catch up with Zach and Jordan Eads, former Port Townsend residents who decided a few years ago to sell their business, their home, and almost everything else they owned, then travel all over North America in a 32-foot Winnebago RV. Their story is one of joy, sorrow, and some lessons that could teach us all a thing or two about what really matters in life. And now, we go inside the Compass. Hope Roofing and Construction in Port Townsend was founded 47 years ago by Jim and Marcia Eads. When they finally decided to retire, the company was turned over to their son Zach and his wife Jordan, and business boomed. But success doesn't always equate with happiness. So Zach and Jordan made a somewhat startling choice, to become homeless on purpose. Well, they had a home on wheels, but their plan was to drive indefinitely all over the country in a recreational vehicle with their young son and a dog. How has that journey worked out for them? We talked with Zach and Jordan Eads, who are now in Florida, via a streaming conference call. At some point, you guys decided to become nomads and roam the entire United States. The obvious question is why, and whose idea was it?
I think it was just kind of this natural progression, and we were suffering really, I think, from kind of business burnout, and we just decided to take the leap and make that huge pivot, and we said, let's become an RV family, and let's take Isaac. This is an amazing time for him, and let's travel the U.S., and that's what we did.
Go see the world. I'd had property and I got tied down in Port Townsend a long time ago. And I was kind of feeling stuck in Port Townsend. So I really wanted to have a little bit of freedom, and that feeling of being a gypsy and not being tied down to something for a while was definitely a big driver for me.
Now, Zach, I know a little bit about your backstory in that you were born in a home in Port Townsend and raised there. You went to Port Townsend High. Jordan, I don't know your backstory entirely. Are you also from this area?
No, can't you tell by my fine Midwestern accent that I have retained? No, I grew up in Wisconsin. I grew up near Madison. And it was my first big leap was when I pivoted and I left Madison to come out to Port Townsend. And that was to be closer to my older brother. And then there's that whole lovely story of how I met Zach. Yeah.
Do we want to tell the lovely story of how you met Zach?
Oh, it's actually been told. It was covered in one of the Valentine's Day stories in the Leader. Right. But let's just say it involved both Water Street and sirens. And then I'll just leave it there.
Now, you just mentioned Isaac. And how old was Isaac when you guys hit the road?
He had just turned 8.
We were in Wisconsin for his 8th birthday, and that was about a month on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now at that age, normally a kid would be in school, and you're kind of RVing around, I guess, at that point. But you can correct me if I'm wrong. What about schooling? How did that happen for him?
So this is what is so great, and what we came to discover, and what people are discovering now, is that, you know, education doesn't necessarily mean brick and mortar. And at any given time, there are 30,000 RV families on the road. Most of them, you know, with...
Oh, anywhere from 2 to 7 or 8 kids.
You know, so that's a lot of homeschooling education. So there's a lot of different philosophies in terms of what they call, you know, road schooling. There's unschooling, families who just really do self-directed education with children, follow no predetermined format at all. And there's families who follow strict format, enrolling their children in either, you know, state academies or virtual academies, and, you know, following a curriculum to the letter and spending hours in school. We really did a hybrid. We enrolled Isaac in a virtual program, and then we just spent so much time doing, you know, taking advantage of all the educational opportunities that this great nation provides. 38 state capitol buildings,
you can kind of go through and learn a lot about the different states mm-hmm. and the events that have taken place there.
Yeah, there's the ranger programs and national parks and junior rangers. You know, it was, and I think it's timely, last summer we did a civil rights tour through Alabama and Arkansas and Mississippi and Oklahoma, and that was so eye-opening. And I would tell you that, you know, the education we found that, you know, there was not something that he was probably going to experience. So Isaac's happy, and it's so wonderful because there's so many opportunities for families to connect on the road, and we would do educational field trips together with other families. It's really opened our eyes to the possibility of what education can be. And what we've done is created a lifelong learner with Isaac, instead of just thinking of his education as something that's, you know, K through 12, or I'm excited about that for him.
I believe you took over the Hope Roofing and Construction business from Zach's parents. Why did you decide to sell it?
Well, we loved our experience with Hope, but as I think many people know, our growth was pretty explosive and not expected. And Zach can talk a little bit about how we got into military contracting.
A well-connected individual, and he agreed to help us through the whole process and kind of handhold us through, you know, understanding what the RFIs and the RFPs and all of the acronyms throughout the military and even the AI contract documents. He really kind of helped us through all of that. And within, I guess, 4 months of taking over the business, we got involved with those guys and got our first contract. And that was, it was a big deal. And we went from seven guys to like 32 or 34 employees in about, you know, in about a 5 month period, I guess.
Explosive growth like that over a long period of time is just not sustainable. And I think as wonderful as the ride was, Zach and I never quite felt like we could get ahead of it. And it really did take a toll on, you know, both of us and our family. And I think we were working, sometimes 60 hour weeks. And at one point, Zach and I just looked at each other and said, we have to make a change. You know, Isaac's life is kind of flashing before our eyes. And frankly, we weren't doing so great, you know, individually and even together. And so we decided that as much as we loved our life with Hope and our employees and, you know, felt so committed to the community, we knew that we needed to do something for our family. And the wonderful thing was that we had two employees, Matt Wallace and Stephanie Nicasio, who expressed interest in continuing the business, and they wanted to purchase.
So for us to be able to accomplish that and see the employees take over and continue that legacy that they had created was a really special thing for me.
It was a beautiful passing of the torch. Matt had been working for us quite a while, and Stephanie had literally grown up in the business of Hope. She had been working with Hope since high school. So that really allowed us to feel like we could gracefully go on to spend this beautiful time with our family.
I'm sure there are a lot of people that are listening to us right now who knew or know Jim and Marcia Eads because they've been around Port Townsend forever.
Forever,
but they're not there now. Where did they move to and how are they doing?
They basically retired to Green Valley, Arizona, and they love it down there. They love the sunshine.
Anytime
my mom calls, we're just sitting out on the back porch and having a glass of wine and enjoying the sunshine. So they've really enjoyed that. My mom's actually become a realtor, so she's doing some realtor work.
And they're close with our church, and they're doing mission-based work and continuing. That's also part of their legacy.
Our listeners can't see this, but we are on a Zoom meeting right now, and so I am looking at you and you're looking at me, and I see that you are in a home. But what fascinated me about this story was that you guys went off RVing without basically an anchor for at least a while. Let's talk about that, if you will, a little bit. When you first headed out, were you in a car, an RV? How did this journey begin?
So we Winnebagoed. we purchased a 32-foot Winnebago Vista, and that's a Class A RV. You know, if you ever decide to pick up the RV lifestyle, you'll learn is that you really just don't need much in life. And yes, we did sell the house, and we did sell most of our belongings. And so we literally just took what we needed to survive and thrive on the road. And it was wonderful. And we had a, you know, a lovely little galley kitchen, you know, just like a boat, you know, we're Portons in the boating community. And
so a lot of people that do the RV life go to the boating life. So they'll end up buying a boat or vice versa. A lot of people that go out and sail will end up buying an RV because they're very, very similar in the way they function. It's only 32 foot, but it had everything that we needed.
All the creature comforts of home. We even had a reclining sofa, a couch.
We still have the motorhome, but we still own it. And it's actually, we're renting it out. It's in Miami. And there's a company there that rents it out for us for a little bit until COVID kind of stops or dissipates in some way. They shut down most of the RV parks. And so you could park there, but you couldn't go to the pool. You couldn't go to the clubhouse. You basically were quarantined in your 100 square feet or 150 square foot unit, and that's all you could do. Right. So that's why we actually have the house now, is that we realized that we weren't going to be able to sit for an unknown amount of time in that small of a space and have all of us live through that experience.
You're on the road. The space doesn't feel small because the world is your backyard.
Yes.
And
you're outdoors all the time.
You know, drive up to these incredible views, these incredible vistas, and it's essentially your living room. And so your interior space, it was nice and it was comfortable. And certainly we had a full-size bed and a full-size shower and everything that would, you know, we needed to, like I said, survive and thrive. And you don't end up spending a ton of time in the RV because you're out exploring the world where you should be because you're on an adventure and a, you know, and a journey.
So how long were you two basically nomads?
2 years. Yeah.
2 years. So let's talk about that. Well, first of all, you were staying in hotels, campgrounds, doing lots of different stuff, right? Yes or no?
Very little hotel. It was pretty much all motorhome, generally in RV parks. We've got Jackson, our beagle dog. We couldn't boondock very well just because the heat it gets hot in there and you have to be able to run the AC.
We should tell you what boondocking means.
Yeah, what does boondocking mean for the uninitiated?
It's when you drive out in the woods and you just park on the side of the road somewhere and set up camp and just sleep on the side of the road or out in the woods somewhere.
Right.
They refer to that as boondocking. And in the Northwest, it's fine because it's only, you know, 70, 75. But you get down in the southern states where it's 80 to 90, your motorhome will get, you know, up to 100 degrees inside and your pets don't survive that. So we had to have power and keep it cooled off in there for him. You know, and Isaac liked that because he likes having power as well so he could charge up his devices and stay connected to his friends.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry to the parents who are out there who are hoping this would be a chance to unplug, you know, and it is a part of being on the road. It's true. It's like, so you can have any type of, RV experience that you want, from luxury where you, you know, roll up on a brick patio and, you know, and you've got your grill set up and the RV park has all the amenities, to, you know, rolling up to some quiet place by, you know, lovely river. No.
Montana. Yeah. It was just a little muddy road that we pulled into. You back up and you're right against this tiny little river there and you're just out in the middle of nowhere, and it was yeah. Beautiful. It was
not another human being for miles.
There's a group called the Full-Time Families, and it's all of the traveling families. That's a Facebook group. That's where we started meeting all of these other people with kids to be able to have a, you know, have some interaction for Isaac, because a lot of people were concerned that he wasn't going to be able to meet kids to play with. And we'd get to some of these places and there's groups of like 20 or 30 kids running around.
Packs. Run around in packs.
and the parents would just let them roam the park and they could just go, you know, they'd ride their bikes and scooters and just run around and be crazy. And it was great.
We get a lot of questions about, well, how did Isaac socialize on the road? And how did you socialize on the road? And it really is wonderful, all these connections that you can make.
Do you have any favorite stories that you want to tell us about things that happened on the road in your nomad journeys? Good things or maybe not so good things?
Okay. This is where I learned that you always have to check your GPS before you, you know, and map out your strategy of where you're going, because you're in a large vehicle. So we were in Michigan, and we got a tip about a lovely little beach place that we should go to. And if you just drive down, you know, State Road 9 or something like that, you'll come upon a lovely little beach. And so we, you know, just put it into the phone.
Yes, I plugged it in the GPS, and this little horseshoe loop around, and there's this little gray road that just is a direct line. Like, why wouldn't I just take the shortcut?
Okay, so the shortcut starts out as a gravel road, which turns into a dirt road, which then starts to close in and become more narrow, and then it turns into
sand
with no trespassing signs everywhere.
It's like we're telling. I know that I'm only, you know, like 300 yards away from the other road. I'm just hoping that it doesn't dead end.
I'm dying, but trying to remain calm.
She is not remaining calm.
Trying to remain calm.
We made it up the hill. We almost went off the road. We finally make it up to the top, and we see this guy in an orange vest at the end of the road. Apparently they're doing road work. I come pulling up to this guy in our 32-foot motorhome with the toad in the back.
From the middle of the forest, mind
you. Out of the woods. I don't have a shirt on. I've got my little cowboy hat on. I open up the window and I'm like, hey man, you know where the beach is at? He just looked at me with this blank stare, like, what in the world is wrong with you guys? And he's like, I don't know what to tell you guys. And I was like, all right, I guess we'll just head back to the highway. So we never saw the beach. We survived.
And needless to say, there was no more shortcut. We made it.
Okay. We're speaking with Zach and Jordan Eads, former owners of Hope Roofing and Construction in Port Townsend, who chose to sell everything and spend years driving around the country in an RV. I believe you guys managed to get back to Port Townsend at some point during your travels. What was the story behind that?
We missed town.
Well, she wanted to see her.
And we missed
parents.
Family. You know, my family is my parents and my brother, only friends. And I really needed some jalapeno poppers from Sirens. Well, the salmon sandwich out at Ducks with some of that good crack sauce. And oh, and Carly and Jens opened the wine bar. So, and how fun is it to come back and be a tourist in your own town just in time for a thing?
Yeah, the Thing Festival was happening, which we didn't really, you know, understand what that was going to be like or much about it. But we were at the fairgrounds, and the whole fairgrounds gotten taken over for some of the camping for it. So it was a big festival, and it felt like a big party just for us.
Yes, it was.
That was amazing. What, about a month? A little over a month in town, and that was really nice, because we did certainly, I mean, Port Townsend is just so much, you know, in our hearts and will always be, and will always come back. We'll always have that connection. Oh,
you anticipated my next question. Will you be coming back?
Well, we will be when, you know, in the time that we are in now. It's challenging, and, you know, certainly thinking about the people back home, Florida, as you may have noticed by what they're showing in the news, was some increased numbers with COVID. So we're just trying to do our, just like everybody else, our due diligence and make sure that we're keeping ourselves safe. And then if we want to return home in the next few months, keeping, you know, others safe. But certainly we really miss family and friends. So we do want to come back.
Judging from your Facebook posts, you've spent a fair bit of time in Florida. Any particular reason?
Well, there's really three reasons. One is that the full-time families generally congregate for the winter months either in Florida or Southern California. And some in Arizona. My family has really deep, I don't know if people know this, but we have really deep roots in Florida, and I've been coming to Florida, well, probably every year for most of my life. When Zach and I got married, my parents had a place in Punta Gorda, so we would come down during the winter, and Isaac actually learned to walk in Florida, of all places. So there's those reasons. Another reason is really Florida has been kind of a healing place for us. So one of the things that, you know, we're excited to share with people is we've been on this journey around the country, and it's a journey of travel and a journey of adventure, but also we've been kind of on a more personal journey. And we've talked about how, you know, owning that kind of business definitely had its ups and its downs. And I think near the end, you know, frankly, it really taken its toll on both Zach and I personally, and, you know, really on our marriage. And so we utilized some of the time in our RV journey to really just heal, you know, individually in Florida and with our marriage. And Florida has been part of that. So we reached out and we found a wonderful place to get some therapeutic support and have been returning, you know, kind of in a long-term program. And that's been amazing for us, not only as individuals, but also as a family. And I say that, you know, it's a little vulnerable to say that, of course, because, you know, it's sharing some of your dirty laundry, but I think there's, you know, been enough rumors in town, and it's good to kind of finally address those and just say, you know, we're okay. And let's face it, we all go through ups and downs and we have our troubles. And it was a really wonderful opportunity for us to spend some time just healing, you know, and
Spend some time together and having some joy.
I think that's joy.
You know, it's stressful running a business. And even when it's going so well, it's still very stressful, and it really consumes a lot of your time and energy. And, you know, that ability to spend some time with the family for me and Jordan, and for me and Jordan and Isaac, you know, we really didn't get to see him a whole lot during those kind of formative years for him. And we felt like that time was passing by really quickly, and we didn't want to miss out. We've gone through a couple of miscarriages as well, and we knew that we weren't going to have another child. And that ability to spend some time with him and really enjoy that was really important to both of us. We wanted to kind of honor having a family and not just watch it pass by and not enjoy it. So that's where, you know, the last couple of years of being able to travel around and be a family and have so much time together. I mean, it was 24/7 for almost 2 years to spend time as a family was really precious thing.
People need the support and mentorship of others. And so we've been able to get the support that we've needed in Florida. And that's part of the reason why we've returned. And it's also one of the reasons why we decided to purchase a home here.
You guys have been nomads, we're nomads for a while. Is Florida your forever home, or is that left undecided?
No. Once a nomad, always a nomad.
We want to go see other parts of the world now.
What we see is that a lot of the RV travelers who have explored the U.S. end up taking that, you know, next step of becoming world travelers. And so that was somewhat of our goal pre-COVID. So, you know, our wings are clipped a little bit right now, and that's okay. However, that has provided some unique opportunities for both Zach and I.
I'm going to be starting my own contracting and a roofing company down here as well. And seeing how that goes, I mean, it's a whole nother world down here, and it'll be a lot of fun to kind of get back into business, but I can do it on my own terms in a much smaller scale, to where it is manageable and it's not stressful and it can just be fun again. And I'm really looking forward to that. And Jordan's doing hers as well, which is...
So, you know, we just can't stop being serial entrepreneurs, Dave.
Yes.
So I've taken the experience that I had with Hope and being burnt out and stressed out and overwhelmed, and then really rediscovering my passion for business and working with female business owners and teaching other business owners how to do it smarter, not harder, and then integrating the balance between joy and wellness and community. Because as I know now, and I think lots of us do know, our best self does our best work. So I am a coach for female business owners. Yeah, which is really exciting. And we just love it. You know, I think, and it allows us, you know, our current businesses allow us the freedom and the flexibility to continue to travel, which is wonderful. That will be our life forever. And we get to come back home, you know, and you might see us, our next pictures in Greece or Japan.
It sounds like you guys are retired and independent millionaires that are just cruising and have been. So that you sort of anticipated my question by explaining that you do have some income sources. But for the 2 years you were nomading, it was that just off of the proceeds from the sale of the business or what?
No, not entirely. Really. So let's say that it's always important to think about your financial goals in life and to have a plan. And I think Zach and I did plan well for that. But we also, property investments.
Yeah. And that has been, you know, a big thing for us is having, you know, having that rental income and being able to work with that. And we did well with the business as well, and that helped. But that allowed us some free time or the ability to take a sabbatical, and you know, doing the RV lifestyle was pretty economical. We found ways to do it pretty cost effectively, and that was a big part of it as well.
Part of the huge draw for families, and really, it's not that a bunch of millionaires or wealthy people are out, you know, exploring the U.S. Most of these families are just average families, and the wonderful thing is you can find so many opportunities to work from the road, especially now.
Get into YouTube and just start watching videos. There's thousands of them. And people will tell you everything you need to know. It's not nearly as scary as it sounds like it is. It really is an amazing adventure.
That's wonderful. It's just healed, you know, us through and through. And there's just so much joy and wonder. This country is so magnificent. People ask us all the time, what was your favorite? And you just can't, because there's so much that's just absolutely magnificent to experience. I had to size up yoga pants probably more than once, because there's a lot of good eating, you know, and libations if you do those sort of things. But certainly the experiences, and then just the people. One thing that's important to know, I think, especially in this time, because we are experiencing a country divided, to know that generally people are still good and people are still kind. And you can have the hard discussions and still, you know, roast s'mores with your neighbor. It's really beautiful. And I would say, too, it really is a good opportunity to have a new perspective, one that you may not have considered before, you know, is to reach out to your neighbors in different places. So that in and of itself makes it just an incredibly transformative experience.
There's all kinds of ways to look at it. It's been a really kind of an interesting, unexpected way of doing life. And I don't know, it's kind of changed my perspective on things. I was raised in a very simplistic family, and so very conservative, small town world. So being able to get out and actually see the world and have different perspectives on how to look at things or how to look at myself as an individual even is been kind of enlightening. And knowing that, you know, the way I've looked at everything it's not the final answer. Like, there's so many different ways to look at your life.
With Zach and Jordan Eads, former owners of Port Townsend's Hope Roofing and Construction, this is David Cunningham for KPTZ News. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon, with repeat airings Mondays at noon and 5 p.m., exclusively here on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.